Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The president said that he wanted a judge who had empathy. And I read empathy to mean bias in favor of politically correct individuals, whether they be, you know, women or a gay person or a black or Hispanic. And, you know, that's the way they should decide.
Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And I know this is on tape, and I should never say that because we don't make law. I know. I know. I'm not promoting it, and I'm not advocating it. I'm, you know. Okay.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday?
It is Tuesday on the Savage Nation, but we're playing Blue Monday because it's equivalent. If you think that Obama's bad, you've seen nothing yet. It's much worse than you think. Now, we understood he'd replace a liberal with a liberal. We understand that. And I understand that very well. But to replace a competent liberal with an incompetent liberal is another story. You just heard a soundbite of Sonia Sotomayor speaking at Duke University Law School in 2005 saying that she believes the Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And she then tried to cover up the fact that she said that with her lib friends giggling. Listen to Aide again, please.
Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And I know this is on tape, and I should never say that because we don't make law. I know. I know. I'm not promoting it, and I'm not advocating it. I'm, you know.
All right, turn it off. All right, so she's an activist liberal judge who belongs not on the Supreme Court at all. And the topic number two, and it's a bigger one than this, is the North Korean nukes and Obama's weakness. Very huge story is the failure of Obama to respond adequately to the launch of the nuclear weapon, excuse me, the underground nuclear test and the launch of the rockets the other day. I want to remind you that when he did this in 06, the North Korean dictator fired two missiles that landed in the sea. And at that time, Bill Clinton's former Pentagon chief, William Perry, and his assistant, Ashton Carter, actually recommended destroying North Korea's missiles at their launch site. But Clinton didn't do it. Bush didn't do it. Bush failed. And the result was an unpredictable dictatorship armed with nuclear weapons. So now Obama is repeated the same mistake. I want to remind you that we have 18 U.S. naval ships off the Korean Peninsula with the Aegis missile system. Japanese and South Korean warships have the Aegis system. Navy vessels with interceptor missiles are prepared to fire on a moment's notice, and yet we've done nothing. So it's not that we lack the technology, we lack the leadership. The fact of the matter is, there is no question in any fair person's mind that this is a danger to all of us, whether you are conservative or liberal. A nuke can destroy your day. And I think we would all agree that we should have recommended North Korea's missiles be destroyed at their launch sites. Sure, they could have been shot out of the sky, but their launching pads could have been blown up. And here Obama has done just what the last diddler-in-chief did, nothing. So those are two topics, which is Chairman O's liberal pick for the Supreme Court, less than supreme, North Korean nukes and Obama's weakness. And the third is that gay marriage was shot down in California. That is, the will of the people was upheld. The Proposition 8, which supported traditional marriage, was upheld. And you know where I stand on this issue. I stand with all the people in every state that ever voted on it. I stand in the mainstream on this. And I'm going to act as a moderator today in the Savage Nation on these three topics. North Korea, gay marriage, Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court. The phone number is 1-800-848-9222. 888-449-8255. If you care not to talk about these topics, you shouldn't be listening to talk radio. You should have your hat on backwards and be listening to a ball game, because that's where your mentality should take you. You have no business in politics. You have no business talking about politics. In fact, you have no business voting. You should simply eat hot dogs and watch ball games. That's it. The three big topics, and that's the end of the story. Let's hear a little bit more about Judge Sotomayor in clip six, please. Clip six.
It's my understanding that Judge Sotomayor's interest in the law was sparked as a young girl by reading the Nancy Drew series. And that when she was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of eight, she was informed that people with diabetes can't grow up to be police officers or private investigators like Nancy Drew. In essence, she was told she'd have to scale back her dreams. Well, Sonia, what you've shown in your life is that it doesn't matter where you come from, what you look like.
Okay, turn it off. I heard this homily before. It's not a college anymore. Now I'll hear the correct clip. Six. Play the right one this time.
This wealth of experiences, personal and professional, have helped me appreciate the variety of perspectives that present themselves in every case that I hear. It has helped me to understand, respect, and respond to the concerns and arguments of all litigants who appear before me, as well as to the views of my colleagues on the bench. I strive never to forget the real-world consequences of my decisions on individuals, businesses, and government.
Okay, that's standard homily garbage that you'd hear from a fifth grader somewhere giving a speech. But the fact of the matter is, Sotomayor dismissed the reverse discrimination case brought by white cops from Connecticut who were passed over by less qualified minorities. This radical activist judge dismissed this reverse discrimination lawsuit with a one-paragraph statement, and in the opinion of one dissenting judge, ignored the evidence and did not even address the constitutional issues. In other words, it is a kangaroo court that she would be comfortable on. If you care to comment on any of these topics, again, the phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Robert in Virginia. Go ahead, Robert. Which topic had you call the show today?
Hi, good afternoon. You talked earlier about the Americans having to bomb the missile sites in North Korea. I have to put myself in the leadership's position. When they're talking about that in their little conference room, what are the repercussions after they do that? They may have ships in the North Sea or wherever our ships are. What happens after that? And they must have to consider what the repercussions are from China and whatever other countries may attack us.
Well, you're right. And what are the repercussions if this maniac gets more bombs and fires one at Los Angeles? What would the repercussions be then?
It would be terrible, but answer my question. What would China do?
No. You answer my question. So you let a maniac who's going to destabilize the world get even more powerful, or you get him while he's weak?
No, I agree.
You don't agree. Nobody likes the choice of having to go to war. I want to be very clear. I am anti-war. I'm a peace lover. I detest war. War is hell. Now, having said that, nobody wants to go to war but a lunatic, but we have the Iranian leader who wants to kill the Jews of Israel. He's on record saying that. And we have this maniac in North Korea who is sharing nuclear material with Iran and with other rogue nations on Earth. So what are you going to do about it? Give speeches and go to the UN?
No, I agree that's the wrong thing to do. But when you're sitting in the round room and they ask President Savage, what happens when we bomb their missile sites? What's the answer? What do you tell your staff?
Well, for one thing, you're no longer worrying about a missile landing in Alaska or Hawaii or Los Angeles for the moment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So you take care of the most immediate threat first. You see, what we have running the country today are showmen. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is a very nice-looking gentleman in a beautiful uniform who may as well have straw between his ears. Mike Mullen sounds like a press agent rather than the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He got up and said, nothing. We'll do nothing. We'll go to the UN. Is this what the U.S. military has come to? Doing nothing? I'm afraid that's true. We couldn't stop the pirates until finally the SEALs were unleashed. And they shot a few of them. I was shocked that Obama authorized that. Hats off to Obama for that. But if Obama really wants to show leadership, what he should do is do what the former defense secretary under Bill Clinton, William Perry, suggested, and that is to destroy North Korea's missiles at their launch site. And if we don't do it, we're going to have hell to pay. Three topics in play: North Korean nukes and Obama's weakness, Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court, less than supreme, and gay marriage shot down in California or open for business. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Be right back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation. Three topics: North Korean nukes and Obama's weakness, failure to act, Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court, less than supreme, a radical leftist. And the third topic is gay marriage, shot down in California by the California Supreme Court. I'll take your calls now on the Savage Nation. Austin, Texas. Stephen, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Well, I'm thinking about Proposition 8, and I'm glad it's a victory, but the 18,000 marriages or so that happened in the interim, I think they knew already that they were going to let those folks go by. They told them back in the summer that those marriages hung in the balance, but they had no intention of invalidating them. So it's a good victory, but it's got a little bite to it.
Well, I'm not so sure that I agree with you. I think that the judges did a Solomon-esque thing here. I think that they upheld the law, they upheld the will of the people, and then they upheld gay marriage, which, of course, was sort of a offering to the community that wanted this. So they had to placate that community. You understand that?
Well, I don't necessarily think they should have placated them. If it's the rule of law, it's the rule of law. Now they got a bigger legal mess because you have an equal protection challenge for people who were married before, and now other people can't get married, and they're similarly situated. So I think legally,
they're saying that the folks who are married are going to be used as a legal precedent for those who aren't?
I think so. I think in that and in leverage.
Well, I don't know. I think that the judges are the last. The California Supreme Court justice were the last word on this in the state of California. I don't see how they could undermine both the people and the judges. They're very liberal to begin with. But the vote was overwhelmingly, what was it, 6-1? I don't know the number, Beowulf. 6-1. I mean, this was a pretty amazing vote. It wasn't a split vote, 4-3. It was 6-1.
But if it was 6-1, it's so strong, then why did those 18,000 stand? I just see that as another challenge for the U.S. Supreme Court for them to take it up.
I suppose you wanted 100%, but in politics today, no one's getting 100%, Stephen. Thanks for the call. Let's go on to a much bigger issue than gay marriage, and that is North Korean nukes. I think we can all agree, as citizens of this country, that we're threatened by North Korea. Unless, of course, you're crazy and you don't think you're threatened by North Korea. They are sharing nuclear technology with Iran. They tried to share it with Syria. Now the troublemaker from South America, Chavez, a good friend of Sean Penn, is playing nuclear games. And as I have to go back to the experts. After all, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm only a talk show host. I don't know anything. After all, liberals say that I don't know anything. So let us assume I'm merely a moderator today. Let's go to a real expert. Pentagon Chief William Perry under Bill Clinton said that we should have destroyed North Korea's missiles at their launch site in 06. But Bush was a weakie on that as well. And what happened was we now have an unstable dictatorship armed with nuclear weapons. Now, what if they get an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile? What are we going to get, Obama giving another one of his stump speeches saying we'll take it to the UN? Don't you see where this is heading? Anyway, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. San Francisco, any of those three topics. Jennifer, please go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I'm a current law student right now in California. And the real outrage is that I just heard Sotomayor's comments about how this Court of Appeals is there to make policy. And the real outrage is that is how it is in every law school, every university, every law professor has this point of view. And the liberal giggles.
That's right. The liberals become lawyers and then they become judges to override the people because they want a dictatorship of and by the bench. They want a dictatorship of the bench, by the bench, and for the bench. In other words, they want to violate the separation of powers that made this country great. We know who the liberals are. They are liberal fascists to a core. They detest the people. They sneer at the people. They think the people don't deserve their own vote, for God's sakes.
Absolutely. It is indoctrinating.
Let me play this again. This is Sonia Sotomayor, who Mr. Obama says is such a wonderful pick, caught on tape at Duke U Law School in 05, making a joke. Listen to 08.
Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And I know this is on tape, and I should never say that because we don't make law. I know. I know.
You hear all of the snots? You hear all of the phony elites who think they're better than you laughing behind the tape there? That's who you're dealing with in this country.
That's who.
Thanks for the call. I know who they are. You don't have to tell me when I'm learning something I don't know. I don't know what's coming in this country. People say to me, do this, do that, run for this, run for that. I said, run for the hills. The only thing to run for is run for the hills. This country's been hollowed out to the core. Obama was the last blow. And people say, oh, don't be so pessimistic about the future. Are you kidding me? The only people who he is being tough on are the patriots in this country. They're the only people being looked at by the Department of Homeland Security are the patriots. What can I tell you? I have my own view of things, and it's a very pessimistic view at this point. I was quite optimistic until now. But at this point, when I see such weakness, and it's vindictive weakness, it's not weakness per se and across the board. They're very muscular when it comes to attacking returning military veterans, people who oppose abortion, people who uphold the Constitution. They are the targets of this particular government running America today. Make no mistake about it. They're not weak when it comes to you. They're very weak when it comes to Pyongyang, whatever, very weak when it comes to Tehran, but very strong when it comes to American patriots. So they say, well, Savage, leave radio and run for office. No, I'm not running for office. I might run for the hills, that's all. Many of you are interested to know an update on my case about being banned in the United Kingdom by the once great British government. We are awaiting word on two fronts, and I have nothing new to tell you other than we filed complaints. They're on michaelsavage.com. We have also filed an appeal to Hillary Clinton's State Department. We have not heard from them. And I am pursuing justice on two fronts with your help through the Defense Fund. I am alone. Nobody is helping me. One thing I learned is that each man for himself.
Savage.
This is one of the biggest days for politics and talk radio. You got North Korea firing off a nuclear weapon, an underground test. Obama does nothing. We got gay marriage being shot down in California. We got Chairman O picking a less than supreme individual for the Supreme Court. Now listen to Chairman O.
We will work with our friends and allies to stand up to this behavior, and we will redouble our efforts toward a more robust international nonproliferation regime.
All right, fine. Listen to the words, behavior and robust, meaningless PAP. The fact of the matter is Obama should shoot down North Korea's missile once and for all, blow up their launch pads. Those were the opinions of Clinton's former Pentagon chief, William Perry, and the current guest, Nicholas Guariglia, from the Hudson Institute. Mr. Guariglia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me.
So what's your opinion?
Well, my opinion is similar to that of William Perry. I initially wrote that the missile should be shot out of the sky, and we should essentially showcase that our missile defense system works, and it does. And the admiral in the region, the commander of PACCOM, said it would work. But William Perry made a good point in an article in 06, and he said that it isn't so much the missile launch itself as it is the data and the technical know-how that they will learn with a launch. Even if it failed, they'll still have the trajectory data, and they could improve on their next missile launch, which is what they just did today. And yes,
but why did Bush fail to take out the launch pads themselves? What is the thinking here? What would have happened? Let's play it out. The U.S. has the Aegis missile systems on cruisers offshore. They launch with setting a few keys. They blow up all the missile launch sites. What happens next? North Korea invades South Korea? What happens?
There's really no telling. I don't believe it would go that far. I think the North Koreans, we would call their bluff and they would blink. They know that one of the interesting things about the Korean Peninsula, the DMZ, is that if the North Koreans ever wanted to invade South Korea, they would have to go through a funnel region on the demilitarized zone that's about 5 miles wide. The rest of the demilitarized zone is all laced with landmines. So if they ever actually wanted to invade North Korea, they would go down one strip about 5 miles wide, and we would wipe them out right then and there. So I don't believe that they would invade South Korea. They would probably launch missiles at Seoul, which would be a problem. But then again, we have that missile defense system, and our admiral in the region said that it would work, and I totally agree with him.
Why do you think we're hearing such weakness from Obama and Admiral Mullen? Why? You know, over the weekend, I was stunned to hear that there's no military option. I didn't intuitively believe that.
That's what the Pentagon is for, the military option. They should have...
Yeah, but Admiral Mullen sounded like a press agent playing the role of a commander, a supreme, allied supreme commander, whatever he is, Joint Chiefs of Staff, excuse me. Why would Admiral Mullen take such a pacifist role as saying we have no military option? What is he doing as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff if he has no military option?
I couldn't agree more. I have no idea why he would say something like that. He should come out and say... if he wants to play the politically correct game, that it isn't preferable, but it's his job to have a military option on the table. That's his job.
Are there any people left in the U.S. military who actually understand their job is to protect America, not simply to mark time till they get a job with a contractor?
Oh, I would definitely say so. Like I said, Admiral Keating, the commander of PACCOM, is a very serious person. Petraeus, Mattis, Odierno, these people are serious. I'm not a big fan of Mullen's overall military view of the world, his strategy, his
does policy. He have a military history, or is he a straight political pogo stick jumper?
I couldn't answer that. I don't know his military history.
All right, fair enough. But anyway, to go back to my reaction as an American citizen who feels threatened by North Korea's nuclear test, why was our military so supine was my first question. I was jumping up and down, begging for somebody in my head to come out and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this. In fact, we're going to destroy the missile launch pads, or just go ahead and do it. I wanted to wake up Monday morning to a real Memorial Day. I wanted to see the missile pads destroyed, and yet we saw nothing. So what do you think that says to the dictator of North Korea? Doesn't it say, I'll do what I want?
Yes, I think last month when he tested these missiles, my position was that President Obama, the unlikeliest of people to come down tough on North Korea, should have laid down the gauntlet early on in his presidency. It would have sent a clear message to not only the North Koreans, but to the Iranians as well. It would have said, listen,
but Nicholas, that's exactly the point. We were told when he became president that he was going to be tested by many members of the Axis of Evil. He's been tested by Iran, and he failed. He's been tested by North Korea, and he's failed. Where has Obama shown any strength?
He really hasn't. The only one example where he should get any credit, and it really wasn't his position more than it was the Navy SEALs, was the Somali pirates situation. But again, he tried...
I want to ask you, you're a military expert. Did Obama, do you think he had to give that order to shoot for the SEALs to shoot the pirates, or was that an independent operation?
He shouldn't have had to. The law of the sea is if somebody takes your citizen... on the seas, on the high seas, the Navy SEALs who were there could have acted without order from the commander-in-chief, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your expertise, Nicholas. Thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, if you care to chime in on the North Korean missile launch, gay marriage being shot down in California, or Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court, the phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has all these stories and more. Florida Jack, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. It's a distinct honor to speak with you this evening, and I want to encourage you to do your very best to stay on the air and to mobilize all of your loyal supporters. Regarding North Korea, also known as the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, I'm probably one of the few Americans who's actually been there. And I can tell you that we're on the horns of a dilemma. No one can doubt the logic that such a display, a flagrant display of aggression has to be answered and answered unequivocally. The problem is this. Having been there, it is an entirely mobilized, militaristic society where even the children have two MOSs, occupational, military occupational specializations. What do you do?
Oh, you mean while our young boys are given Ritalin and told how to play baseball, they're given wooden AK-47s and taught how to kill?
You've got it, Dr. Savage. This was my question, and I mean no disrespect to our men and women in uniform, but who's going to go there and spill their guts and fight? Because as soon as we blast their launch pads, they're going to open up, and with all due respect, I have to disagree with Nicholas Guerrilla. They are going to open up with the heavy artillery that is hardened in the hills and mountains beyond the DMZ with the chemical and biological warheads, and they will destroy Red Cloud, our base, which is actually in their territory. And I don't put it past them to destroy or disrupt the eighth largest economy in the world, which is South Korea. And then after that, who's going to go there? I don't know anyone who's going to do what they're prepared to do.
Well, let's take it from a different... You're right about everything you say, but I have another series of questions since you sound like you know what you're talking about. I forget who it was who said that war is really an extension of diplomacy. When diplomacy fails, war is a tool of diplomacy, and then it should be war should be stopped once your diplomatic aims are achieved. Our diplomacy has failed miserably, has it not?
Yes, that's exactly right, because we have a weak leader who's perceived as being weak, and we are also perceived as being in dire economic straits and at the mercy of third world, third rate dictatorial powers. And the concept among the shared villains in this whole scenario is that, well, if the Koreans can sap our strength out there on the Korean Peninsula in North Asia, then the Iranians can stoke the furnace over in the in South Asia.
All right, so let's go to the next step. We know that China holds most of our T-bills. Why is China permitting their pit bull to launch to launch an underground nuclear test right now? What do you think? I believe China is behind North Korea's moves. I don't think that this man would do anything without the approval of Beijing. Do you agree with me on that?
No, I'm sorry, with all due respect. Something has changed. You know, Dr. Savage, I've been studying North Korea since I was a graduate student in the 1970s. And I have to tell you that in the 1990s, when they first started developing the Nodong and Taepodong missiles, I started to do open source intelligence. And here was my logic. Nobody addresses an envelope unless they have a letter to put in it. And that's when I started to do research into whether or not they either had or were close to having a nuclear bomb to place on it. Now, what I'm getting at is simply this, Dr. Savage, that in the 1990s, the Korean Workers' Party was no longer used as the model for emulation and leadership. There was a silent military coup. That's the only way I can describe it. Now, even the...
Wait, let me see if I know. You believe that the generals took over North Korea and that they're actually autonomous from Chinese control?
I don't think it's Chinese control. You know, if I tell you what the problem is with China, the problem with China is their Confucian heritage. Their Confucian heritage inclines them to seek harmony and balance. And they are loath to go against their brothers in North Korea, because then that would be essentially disgracing the service of over a million Chinese volunteers who saved the North Korean regime. You have to remember, Dr. Savage, that in 1950-51, the Chinese People's Liberation Army was poised to invade Formosa, Taiwan, and in order to come to the aid of their brothers in Korea, they postponed fulfilling what they saw as their national destiny and right. For them now to turn on or abandon their brothers in the DPRK would cause a great deal of disharmony and ideological and political dissension.
But by your analysis, we are now paralyzed and can do nothing, and he'll grow fatter and stronger and disseminate weapons to Iran, to Syria, Venezuela. And what do we do then? Do we then give up? I mean, if we let this go on, I can see the day that foreigners take over America and that we have to turn ourselves into prison camps run by North Koreans and Chinese. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that. What I really share with you, of course, is your pessimism, because right now we're like an enormous ship that has no rudder, and the captain is drunk in the anchor closet. This is a very unfortunate situation.
Jack, I see the world the way you do. My whole view of the world has changed drastically in the last few weeks. Not solely because of what has happened to me, that England, once a beacon of democracy, has become itself a small dictatorship, a dictatorship of the radical left that does not even understand the danger it is in. And that goes right to the heart of Obama. Instead of focusing on the real dangers to the freedoms of the American people, he instead focuses on the agenda of the hard left. Again, not understanding the danger we are really in, again pushing forward the radical agenda.
The irony of it, the Soviet Union and the credibility of Marxism-Leninism collapsed in what, 1990, 92, with Gorbachev and Yeltsin, only to see a resurgent fascination with a bankrupt philosophy that we know cannot work.
But wait a minute. You're talking about a fascination with Leninism, Marxism here in America by the Obamaites.
Well, I'm afraid that's true. And unfortunately, a lot of people have not opened their eyes to see what's going on. And
Here's some breaking news. The madman in North Korea has just fired another missile. And Admiral Mullen, the press agent, has come out in a newly pressed suit to say he can do nothing. And Obama's supporting Sotomayor and not doing anything to protect the American people. So what are our choices, Jack? Jack, stay on the line. You sound like a super... Where do you live in Florida? You allowed to tell me north or south?
I'm in North Florida. I don't want to give my particulars.
No. I certainly would never ask you for that. I'm asking for another reason. I sometimes come through that area, Jack. I never meet callers. I never talk to callers. But I would certainly like to start an email correspondence with you, Jack. Jack, stay on the line and give us your email address, and I want to come back to you and ask you some questions right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Surprised because of the recent statements by North Korean leadership that they intended to do this. As you know, they also recently unsuccessfully launched a potential.
Right, turn it off. This is our so-called chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the man in a nice press suit who says we can do nothing. It's amazing to me how we have literally no protection. The American people feel frightened today on all fronts, frightened by Iran, frightened by North Korea, frightened by Venezuela, virtually no sense of security under Obama. Instead, Obama marches around with this wonderful, wonderful affirmative action discovery, Sonia Sotomayor. They say she's the first Hispanic. I wouldn't care if she was Hispanic. I wouldn't care if she was an Hispanic transvestite, frankly, as long as she would uphold the law. But she is an activist of the worst kind. She wants to make law and make policy as a judge. By the way, there is some discussion right now as to whether she is the first Hispanic appointee. People are arguing today that Benjamin Cardozo was indisputably the first Hispanic. It is true that Benjamin Cardozo was on the Supreme Court and that he was Jewish, but the argument is that he was also Hispanic. And, of course, that would take away the fluff from the Obama announcement. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go back to our caller, Jack, in Florida. Jack, you believe that North Korea is acting independently of China, and you believe nothing can be done to stop them?
China would exert a certain amount of influence consistent with their own national goals and policies. I think what most of us miss is that in many ways China is what the United States was finding its place in the world in the 1880s and the 1890s. They could care less what kind of a regime you have in Sudan. Their only interest would be how many sewing machines do you want to buy. Could care less if you have slaves, could care less if you're torturing people. They're essentially a state capitalist regime. Anything that will continue their national goals and interests is what they're going to promote.
So what about Japan? Japan is frightened right now of North Korea. Japan received two nuclear bombs at the end of World War II. Japan has a very large navy, and it has the Aegis missile system. What do you think Japan might do?
Japan might take independent action because this is all happening in their front yard, not their backyard. In their front
yes.
yard. You have to remember, Dr. Savage, the North Koreans are a fanatical population, especially the true believers.
The children are trained to kill?
Occupation specializations. They have MOSs. So, in other words, you could have little Bake Bong, who's 8 years old, and he's learning how to use a cipher and operate a two-way radio. You may have another one whose specialty is small arms. You may have another one whose specialty is photography, linguistics.
Well, I had Japanese callers when we argued over whether or not the U.S. should have dropped the nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of World War II, and we've debated that on this show before. I had Japanese callers themselves who had lived there and said to me that every citizen was armed with a bamboo knife and they're ready to kill for the emperor. Should we have invaded, we would have lost between 500,000 to 1 million men. Truman ended it with two nuclear bombs. Do you think it could come to that, Jack, God forbid?
Yes, I do think it can come to that extreme because we're dealing with a hermetical society. It's a true Stalinist regime.
Why is it that Sean Penn and actors in Hollywood love Kim Jong-il? Why is that?
Well, I don't know that he loves Kim Jong-il. I think he likes the more appealing Latin flair of
I see. He likes the Latin rhythm better than he does the whiskey-swilling, blonde-loving Kim Jong-il. We'll be right back.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Said that he wanted a judge who had empathy. And I read empathy to mean bias in favor of politically correct individuals, whether they be, you know, women or a gay person or a black or Hispanic. And, you know, that's the way they should decide.
Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And I know this is on tape, and I should never say that because we don't make law. I know. I know. I'm not promoting it, and I'm not advocating it.
We will work with our friends and allies to stand up to this behavior, and we will redouble our efforts toward a more robust international nonproliferation regime that all countries have responsibilities to meet. In this effort, the United States will never waver from our determination to protect our people and the peace and security.
We heard it all before, to protect our people. In other words, they launched two more missiles today to say to Obama, we know you're weak and we know that you're a paper tiger and you're going to do nothing. That's why Iran is on the march. That's why North Korea is on the march. And I think that all Americans listening to the show should be frightened today, frankly. And I agree that Bill Clinton's former Pentagon chief, William Perry, was correct when he said to Bush, you should have destroyed North Korea's missiles at their launch site. And, of course, nothing was done by Bush either, to be fair to the discussion. And as a result, we now have an unpredictable dictator armed with nuclear weapons, and he is growing more empowered every day. That's topic number one. Topic number two is that gay marriage was shot down in California. Topic three is Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court, who I believe, by what I've heard, that she is an activist liberal of a standard type and that she has no place on the Supreme Court. Now, I understand that people are afraid to talk about it because they're afraid of enraging Hispanics, which I think is very sad, because the issue is not whether she is Hispanic or a woman. The issue is she qualified to be on the Supreme Court. There's a new article that came out saying, is she the first Hispanic justice? The answer is no. They say that it was Benjamin Cardozo. You don't know who Benjamin Cardozo was, but he was actually a Supreme Court justice. He was also Jewish, and he was appointed way back in 1932 by Herbert Hoover. Now, he was a member of a prominent family of Sephardic Jews who claimed Portuguese heritage. But to today's politically correct crowd, apparently, Hispanic does not include Portuguese. They're excluded from the Hispanic umbrella. And although the biographer said Cardozo's ancestors came to the American colonies in the 1700s from England and Holland, the fact of the matter is nobody knows if he actually came from Portugal. But think of his name, Cardozo. Cardozo himself was very proud of his heritage, but he never made an issue of being Hispanic because he lived in another time when people were proud of their heritage but didn't wear it as a badge and didn't use it as a weapon. It was not socially acceptable to use your heritage as a weapon. But now, because of the radical left-wing fanatics in America and in American media, today wearing one's heritage is not only a badge, it is also a weapon. And, of course, the biographer says, I think it would be a surprise to most Hispanics to learn that Justice Cardozo was the first Hispanic, and I think it would be a surprise to most people to learn it. That's according to Michael Hertz, Vice Dean of the Benjamin N. Cardozo School of Law at NYU at New York's Yeshiva University. There's actually a law school name for Cardozo. But you see, Cardozo was not an ethnic pick. He was picked because of his brilliance. He was picked for his brilliance. He was picked for his genius by Herbert Hoover, not because he was somebody with a last name with an O in it. But today, as I say, it's a different world. Sadly, a different world, by the way. Let's go to the big issues on the Savage Nation. Will Japan act against North Korea because we're too weak to do so? I don't know. What do you think Japan's going to do? Let's take your calls on this bigger issue. Or what about Proposition 8 being upheld by the California Supreme Court? I was surprised. I knew it could have gone either way, but I was figuring 80-20 they were going to throw down the people's votes. Because that's been the history of the Supreme Court, which is to tell the people your vote is nullified. I'm very surprised by this, incidentally. Very surprised. These are the topics, three of them, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, New York City, WOR. Vincent, go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to speak to you. Just wanted to ask you, with North Korea militarizing, probably having multiple nuclear weapons and advancing their missile technology, do you believe other countries such as South Korea, Japan, and possibly even Taiwan may go nuclear themselves down the line out of fear of a North Korean possible aggressive act, especially Japan and South Korea?
Do you assume that these countries are currently not nuclear?
Well, I know that Japan has the know-how and the capability, but do they have nuclear weapons? I don't know.
I don't know. I have no. This is so beyond my knowledge base, I can't answer the question. I do know that the Japanese population is terrified today because they know very clearly, more so than any nation on earth, what nuclear weapons can do. Their grandfathers and grandmothers were killed by American nuclear weapons to end World War II. And they have been cauterized by this, both against and for nuclear weapons. I have no idea what Japan is liable to do. Japan has a very powerful navy. The question is, will Japan launch Aegis missiles against the launch sites? I don't know. I know that we'll do nothing. I know that we have a paper tiger running the country who's more involved in advancing the radical agenda of American leftists than he is in protecting Americans. That's how I see it. It's terrible for me to say it. I wish I couldn't. I wish I could say the opposite. Thanks for the call. I have no answer. No answer, but I know this. I've heard military men tell me, who knew so, that the Republic of Korea troops are the hardest in the world. The absolute rock-hardest troops on earth are those from the Republic of Korea. And that was true 10 years ago. I don't know if it's still true. I would argue that the toughest troops on earth may be in North Korea. You look at them and you could see men made of sinew, men who could live on a handful of rice, men who would throw themselves on a barbed wire fence and take a hand grenade in the guts. We know that. These are fanatics. It's a nation of fanatics. It's a police state. It is estimated that over 1 million North Koreans have been starved to death in concentration camps by this man. And yet we hear nothing from the so-called human rights professionals in the United States of America. They're upset with little things, being Lilliputians themselves. What do you think? Should anything be done? Will anything be done? Or will we sit here wringing our hands while he becomes more powerful and more empowered along with Iran? I'd like to hear what you have to say. Waco, Texas. Derek, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, let me correct you. The toughest military men and women are in the United States Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard.
Well, did I lose you, Derek?
No, let me repeat in case it didn't come clear.
I heard what you said. The toughest military men on earth are in the United States.
That's right. And I will take on North Korea any day, and I will re-enlist until it comes to it. But here's the deal. A couple years ago, 2002, let's review.
Well, let's slow down. I don't doubt that what you say is true. However, the mores of the American military are different than the mores of the, or let us say the culture of the American military is different than the culture of North Korea. They will be sacrificed by their leader. We have the exact opposite policy. You understand that, of course.
Well, I understand your policy, but believe me, Michael, I've been inside the United States military. Those men and women will give up their life for the defense of our country and the defense of our country's constitution.
Why do we hear from Mike Mullen, this press agent who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, such talk about going to the UN? Tell me what that's all about.
Well, there again, that's Article 6. The Treaty of the United Nations is supposedly superior to our Constitution, so I can't even talk from that viewpoint because I disagree with even acknowledging the United Nations exists, and if it were up to me, I'd bulldoze that god-awful place.
Well, why is our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff such a panty waste when it comes to such a situation? He shouldn't have even given a speech, or he should have been given a speech that was far more dramatic than saying we'll go to the UN. What, has he suddenly abrogated our national sovereignty to the bunch of child molesters in The Hague?
Well, yeah, that's pretty much what they are. But, I mean, I don't care what the United Nations says or does because, to me, they're worthless and an abrogation of our own constitution and our values and our cultures. But in terms of foreign policy, Michael, we need to be clear on one thing. We predicted Iraq was nuclear capable in 2002, and they weren't. $1 trillion later in a regime change, and we're $1 trillion less able to deal with a real nuclear threat on the other side of the Pacific, right or wrong.
Oh, you're right about that. So who got it wrong for Bush? Who was the one who misled Bush about Iraq's nuclear capacity?
Well, there's a laundry list there, Michael, and I don't think you want to bore your listeners, but, I mean, Bush himself wasn't really impressed with what
was it all Wolfowitz and was it Wolfowitz and his gang of neocons?
Well, they were involved, yeah, and the CIA was trying to tie strings to Africa and all this and that. But the fact is, Michael, he wasn't nuclear capable. Now we have nuclear bombs the size of the one we dropped on Hiroshima going off, and we're sitting on our hands. Why? Because we don't have any sense in looking at Article 1, Section 8 on when to go to war, what to do about things like that, and the congressional power given by the people to make the hard decisions.
If you were in charge of the Joint Chiefs of Staff instead of the press agent who's in charge with a very nice suit and a good voice, what would you recommend?
Well, again, I would put it to the DOD, and I would take, you know, I would take opinions, and these are the type of things that we really shouldn't have press coverage of and things we shouldn't talk about. That's the problem with our human intel, and we talk about torture every day and make torture a political issue. These things shouldn't be talked about in public forums. We have to do what's necessary to preserve the sovereignty of our country, and we also have to be mature adults about when we screw up with foreign policy for business, political reasons.
I hear you. Derek, you're a very intelligent man, and I wish that there were more Americans like you. Thank you for calling the program. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Topics: North Korea's nukes and Obama's weakness, gay marriage shot down in California, Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court, identity politics at work. Now imagine the reaction if someone had found in 2005 a speech in which then Judge Samuel Alito had asserted, for example, the following quote: "I would hope that a white male with the richness of his traditional American values would reach a better conclusion than a Latina woman who hasn't lived that life," close quote. And what if he then went on to say that there are inherent physiological or cultural differences that may explain why our gender and national origins may and will make a difference in our judging? Tell me what would have happened in the American media had Judge Samuel Alito said that. And yet here we have a woman who is a radical of the highest order, a woman who says that policy is made in the courts when it is not supposed to be made in the court. Here is a woman who said that our inherent physiological and cultural differences may explain why, quote, our gender and national origins may and will make a difference in our judging. It's astounding that Obama doesn't understand that we, the American people, are not quite as brainwashed as his students were in the college classes that he taught, holding grades over their head. Do I expect that she will be opposed by Orrin Hatch? Ha, 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 ha. Orrin Hatch gave us Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But I'm also glad to see that of the three topics you're concerned about, the most important, which is the North Korean nukes. San Francisco, KNEW Sterling, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to attack North Korea, and for the reason being that North Korea, the North Korean military has enough conventional artillery pointed at Seoul to inflict millions of casualties in, 15 minutes. And so I think the countries around them, the ones involved in the six.
So in other words, they should just give up and give in to him? Is that what you're saying?
No. But I think the real issue with North Korean nukes is not him attacking somebody with the nukes, but him selling them, proliferating them to...
Well, there are stories that North Korea transferred nuclear material to Syria and the Israelis blew it up. You remember that story?
Yeah.
But I understand that. So what would you do if you were chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or president? What would you do, Sterling?
I guess I would try a diplomatic route.
Come on, you said it in a way knowing that dictators don't respond to diplomacy. They've tried diplomacy, haven't they? How many years have we tried diplomacy with Iran and North Korea, and what have we gotten in response? We've gotten a finger in the eye. They're not going to listen to diplomacy. They know we're weak. They know that we have empty suits and paper tigers running the military. They know that, so they're saying, go to hell. We don't care what you say. They only respond to action, and we're not capable of action.
True.
That's why Americans today are frightened. That's why every American with a brain understands the danger we are in. That is why Americans know that the dictators are on the rise. That is why they know that the axis of evil is actually real and that everyone in the axis of evil is actually on the march. They actually look back and say, God, George Bush was right. There is an axis of evil. And now we have a president who's afraid of them. A president who's pushing the leftist agenda rather than defending Americans. It's frightening, to be honest with you. Let's hear what you think. Richard, New York, quick call, WOR. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I have to say, and all your listeners should know, you are the number one conservative voice in the world, and I respect you for that.
Well, let me just say this. I found out that I'm alone in the world over the last 3 weeks. I found out that other than lip service, there is nobody to come to my aid other than myself, my defense fund, and my lawyers. There is nobody there for me. Let me tell you that. We're all in this alone. Every man for himself.
Savage.
Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And I know this is on tape, and I should never say that because we don't make law. I know. I know. I'm not promoting it, and I'm not advocating it.
That's Sonia Sotomayor speaking and being taped at Duke U Law School in 2005. But she's admitting that she's a person who likes to be an activist judge who makes policy and hijacks the voters. But she said things that are far worse. She said that inherent physiological or cultural differences may help explain why, quote, our gender and national origins may and will make a difference in our judging, close quote. Now, that should disqualify her immediately. If she is that unstable, that she believes that her gender and national origins should affect her judging, she is not a rational judge. She's an irrational judge. If she suggests, quote, that her inherent physiological or cultural differences cloud her judgment, then she's incapable of being a fair judge. Is that not right? It should be. But Sotomayor is a far-left activist judge. That is why the far-left radical senator from New York, Chuck Schumer, pushed her into this position. Listen to clip 23.
Well, I recommended her to the president about a month ago. She's been a moderate through and through.
To him, a moderate is a communist to anyone else. All right. Now he's going to say anybody who brings up anything she said in the past is a racist. Listen to clip 28.
This is really, I think, you know, in a certain sense, this is a referendum on the future of the Republican Party, because she is a moderate. She's had a lot of experience. She does represent diversity. And they're going to have real trouble opposing her. And if they let the 5% at the extreme right oppose
her. Get off. 5%. 5%. Yeah. 50% of America is 5% to Schumer. Hey, Schumer, if you left Brooklyn every once in a while, you'd find out that it's really like 55% of the people oppose her, not 5%. But since you live in a bubble of your own, Schumer, I'd expect you to say that the whole country is in love with Sonia Sotomayor. All we got to do is come to know her, and to know her is to love her. Why would a woman say that our inherent physiological or cultural differences, it may explain why, quote, our gender and national oranges may and will make a difference in our judging? It sounds like she's absolutely irrational. Irrational. There are other quotes that you must see. You won't believe the rest of these quotes because they get worse. She said things about white males that are so racist it's frightening. But to me, this is dancing on the head of a pin. North Korea is the issue. That's what really worries me. And of course, it should worry you. What would you do if you were president? What would you do if you were Obama with North Korea firing off two more rockets? North Korea firing another missile. Tell me what you would do. Would you give speeches? Would you go to the UN? Would you tell your Navy admirals to finally do something instead of training for their job as a contractor? Los Angeles, KGIL. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
The first thing I would do as president is to acknowledge that our diplomatic talks have been a total failure. The next thing I would do is continue our missile defense system, and then I would appeal to Russia and China, who have given us no help whatsoever. And the way to get China to cooperate is to arm Japan with a nuclear weapon, try to cause instability in that region so that North Koreans will spill over the border into China. And those refugees will be the only catalyst that will cause China to do something about the situation. Other than that,
Mark, you sound like you actually know how to play chess rather than backgammon.
Yes, I do.
Where did you learn all of these elements of what you just said? Because it's brilliant.
I went to the graduate school as an adult, studied history, got 2 degrees in history on my own, working at night.
Amazing. In other words, you came up the hard way, the way I did, and you still have street smarts and you understand what reality is, opposed to the college professor that we have running America.
By the way, I listen to your show at 4 o'clock in the morning and also at 7 o'clock at night.
Wait, what do you mean? They replay it in L.A. at 4?
They replay it in Las Vegas at 4 in the morning.
Great. I got bounced to the hinterland in Las Vegas. I guess I was too hot to handle for the people in Vegas. Mark, thanks for calling from KGIL. New York City, WOR. James, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Thank you very much, sir. First of all, listen, sir, I'm not political, so I don't know a lot of political terminology, but I would say this. Back in the 60s, when President Kennedy was faced with this decision,
yes.
He found he had to make a decision to threaten Russia to remove those missiles from Cuba. Mm-hmm. And I would, as a president, if I was, not a weak president, I would threaten North Korea with the same thing, possibly like that, and I would let them know that you're not going to just threaten my country with your nuclear missiles, and you're going to do something. I'm going to do something about it to remove those missiles from there.
Well, you don't need to know politics, or you don't need the PhD to understand reality here. You got a man who is unstable with a Hiroshima-sized weapon, threatening to destabilize the world, telling America to go to hell that you're too weak to stop me. And you understand what goes on in a neighborhood when a bully comes along with a weapon like this.
Yeah, but, Michael, Dr. Savage, but you know, it takes a strong president. And this president is weak. He's a showcase. When my people, the blacks, were yelling for a black president, I said to some of my people, you better be careful about what you ask for because you just might get it. And now with his wonderful words and his eloquent of how he pronounced things, this man is nothing but I feel a plant.
No, he's over his head. He's not capable of this. This is a man who, let us say, had a lot handed to him, and he believes that all that matters is that race and gender play a role in every political decision. What he doesn't understand is that there are times that you have to put aside your left-wing politics and start acting as the president of all the people, and I don't think he's done that yet.
I don't think he's done that either, Dr. Savage. I think that this man has turned his eye even to the flag, to God, to Jesus, to this doggone country. And I'm wondering, when are we going to wake up and see that this man is putting place?
But what are we supposed to do if we realize the king has no clothes and he's not capable of defending us? Tell me what we're going to do. He seems to be the kind of president that if, God forbid, North Korea launched against Hawaii, he'd get up and give another speech that he's going to go to the UN and we're going to do this and pass a sanction. I don't think this man is capable of defending us as commander-in-chief.
Well, you know something, that brings up another issue. This is why the mafia, even though they can be as vicious as they are, not all of them are wartime mafia figures, and they will normally place somebody who's got experience in this area in that position. We don't have the right kind of president to be placed in that position.
You're right. We have a peacetime leader when we need a wartime leader. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
And look who's next in line. Look at who's next in line, Joe Biden. Take a look at that one.
Well, you know something?
Let's go down the list. Let's go to the next. The third one is Nancy Pelosi. Today, from China, where she ran away to hide because she attacked the CIA and was getting hammered, she ran to China to some environmental conference. Suddenly, Miss Human Rights had nothing to say about human rights violations. Today, from China, she says the first thing she's going to do when she comes back is not act about North Korea, but she's going to try to make sure that gays can get married. You hear this?
Well, you know what? This president is not even stepping into policies through that which this country has stood for in the past. He's changing everything around. Different political figures here are just running amok with how they want to do things. There's no control. It's out of hand.
Well, you know, you've proven yourself wrong by telling me that you don't know politics, James. I have to disagree with your first statement.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, Dr.
James, I got to ask you a personal question. We don't know each other. How long have you been listening to Michael Savage in New York on WOR?
Possibly since you came on about 2 or 3 years ago, sir.
So you don't find that because I'm not black, I'm not worth listening to?
Well, I'm going to put it like this here to you, sir. If you should leave radio, I don't know what's going to happen with me from hearing the truth. And I feel that you're about one of the few figures who speak the truth on radio, and not you're not as scared of policy, because these are your beliefs, and this is how you feel. And I've been influenced by a lot of things that you said, Dr. Savage.
James, I'm 67 years old. I wouldn't say I had a hard life compared to most, but I didn't have an easy life compared to most either. And I want to say this. There's very little time left to negotiate with Iran and North Korea. I do not think that the time is over, but I think we're right near midnight. And I believe that if these people are allowed to grow fatter, we're going to be victimized by them.
Well, you know what I would like to say in closing, Dr. Savage? Even though you're who you are and I am who I am, I would call you brother in a minute because I love you. I respect you, sir. And I would say, even though I live in the Bronx, New York, you know, if I had the means to get to you, if you were in trouble, I'd be one of the first ones there to defend you, sir.
Wow. Well, you brought a lot of warmth to my heart. James, let me send you a gift. That's all I got to give you is a copy of my book, Psychological Nudity, because it has so many stories from my growing up. I think you'd enjoy it, so stay on the line. That's beautiful. You know, it's interesting to me that I came up with the three topics. I came up with that. I mean, who? This is a day made for talk radio. North Korean nukes and Obama's failure to act. Gay marriage shot down by the Supreme Court in California, which I thought was a shock, by the way. This is a very liberal Supreme Court that has traditionally overturned the people's will. I have no idea why they did this. And Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court, the radical, less than supreme pick that he has chosen. And, you know, I find it offensive to hear that he picks Latino. What does that mean? I'd rather hear that he picked a genius. I don't care if the genius was black or Hispanic or Asian, gay or straight. I wouldn't care. All I want is a fair justice, and I don't see a fair justice. I see a person who's imbalanced and incapable of judging fairly. She said, and I'm quoting now, I would hope that a wise Latina woman with the richness of her experience would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white male, close quote. To me, it's an open and shut case. She has disqualified herself on many counts. And again, I want to ask you, what if back in 2005, while Samuel Alito was being vetted by the communist press, someone had unearthed a speech in which he had said earlier, quote, I would hope that a white male with the richness of his traditional American values would reach a better conclusion than a Latina woman who hasn't lived that life, close quote. What if he then went on to speak of, quote, inherent physiological or cultural differences that made him more qualified? Tell me what the communist press would have done then. I'll be right back. Savage. Savage Nation, the phone number you know, the website you know, help save Savage, banned in Britain, click here to read letter, support the Savage Legal Fund, California Supremes uphold traditional marriage, 6-1, by the way, which I thought was a shock. North Korea fires another missile, and we do nothing. In other words, Obama fiddles while Rome burns. What would you say? Remember the statement, Nero fiddled while Rome burned? We're not burning. We're not burning, not yet. Is Obama's Supreme Court pick too radical? Absolutely. Totally. She's a radical activist. The thing to remember here, though, is that she's just one vote. She's just another liberal. It's a liberal replacing a liberal. But because she is known to be very loud, very loud and very in love with herself, according to people who worked with her, clerks, she's going to try to bulldoze the other justices in her direction. I don't know whether they'll move, but, you know, people don't like to be bullied. She's going to try to bully them. That's the difference. There's no there in that sense. She thinks she's right about everything. Is she the first Hispanic justice? Some say it was Benjamin Cardozo. Read about it on michaelsavage.com. Also today, former NYPD Kamish Carrick was indicted by a federal grand jury in Washington, charged of making false statements to White House officials during his vetting. Big deal. That's a huge deal. That's going to come up with Giuliani. The Carrick indictment has more to do with Giuliani and Giuliani's ambitions to be president than it does to do with Carrick. Remember, Giuliani wanted to pick Carrick to be the head of Homeland Security. This came up. Giuliani, I told you when he ran, would get nowhere. I told you west of the Hudson he was not popular. No one listened to me. No one listened to me, but I know. I'm the man in the second-story window who looks down on the world going by and knows what's going on. I'm the man in the window watching up from the second-story window as the whole parade of humanity goes by. I know what's going on. You may not agree with it, but I know what's going on. And like Casey Stengel, I call him as I see him. Now, that doesn't always make you friends. In fact, it might get you banned from England. Since there's no England anymore, you can get banned in England for expressing your opinions, particularly by the leftists in England who distort what you say in order to smear you. Make no mistake about it, I am the victim of a smear campaign, perhaps the largest smear campaign in modern American history. I'm the victim of it. Oh, I don't care that you don't read about it in today's paper. Make no mistake about it. I haven't talked about it today, but I'm going to talk about it now for another minute. I am the target of a smear campaign unlike any going on in America today. The British government, with help from leftists in America, and I think we have found out who is behind it, but I'm not going to disclose it right now. I'll let my lawyers uncover it. She took quotes that were not mine. She twisted statements that were not mine. She painted a target on my back by saying things that I said that I never said. And in so doing, she's conducting a McCarthy-like smear campaign on Michael Savage. Rush Limbaugh is silent. Sean Hannity is silent. Bill O'Reilly is silent. The hemorrhoid with ears is silent. So who was there for me when they came for me? Well, you say you are, and I understand that. That's okay. But in terms of the conservative media, there have been some very great people. You know, I'll name them another time. You can go on my website and read all their articles. But in the major talk business, they've all turned out to be shills, empty suits. The very thing they accuse the Democrats of being, they are, in my opinion. Because when they're needed, they're not there. They came out to be just exactly the same activist talk show hosts that you feared they were. When I say activist, I mean activist only for their own careers. They have no principles. If you have a principle, you stand for something. If you have a principle, you put aside competitiveness for the moment. When the golfer was in trouble with the drug allegations, I supported him. When when O'Reilly was in trouble with the allegations of sexual stuff and the loofah, I took his side. I never cared for the man. I thought he was a bully, but I took his side because I thought it was unfair in a smear campaign. Did I get a reciprocal action? No. Did I expect it? Yes. The hemorrhoid with ears is a shill. Putting on a big show with gesticulations and wild motions and yelling and screaming and eating Chinese food. Good luck to him. But he's a shill, an empty suit. So it's up to me and my lawyers, that's all. And I don't know where this is going to lead. I don't know where this ends. What, do you think it ends good? It always ends good. Why, you think it's all Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse? You think because you want it to end good and I win? I may not win. They're trying to crucify me. They got the cross up and they got the spikes out and the Romans are ready with the hammers. But you think it's all a joke. I love people saying to me, oh, I know what you're going through. You're going to win. They don't know anything. They don't know anything. They're full of crap. I found that I have no friends. Nobody. I don't know anybody who's worth a damn other than my own family. When it comes down to it, you're alone in this world. You're born alone and you die alone. And you better be able to defend yourself. Woe unto the man who doesn't have the money to defend himself. He'll be crucified in 2 seconds. The jails are probably filled with innocent people by what I see going on. If this system wants to put you away, they're going to put you away. And once those evildoers get you in their grips, you're never coming out of there. They could take you away for a marijuana cigarette, and then somebody tries to rape you and you defend yourself. Then they say that you committed violence in the prison. Then they give you 1 to 3. Then they put you in the hole and you do something else and they put you on drugs. Then you talk back to one of these psychopathic prison guards and they give you another 3 years. You can wind up in there the rest of your life because you smoked a joint. You think I don't know we're living in a police state? Only right now it's me. And you say, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing to you because you don't know what it is to be a man who has been targeted by an entire nation and your own country won't defend you. My State Department has an obligation to defend me because I am a victim of a witch hunt. Make no mistake about it. This is a setup from the get-go. And I am appealing again to all of you listening to the show to send an email to Hillary Clinton herself and ask her to help me. Because with helping me, you're helping you. By not helping me, you're not helping yourself. Oh, there's much bigger issues, believe me, than me. I understand that. Like one nuke could destroy your day. But right now, I am Ramos and Campion, only I haven't been thrown in the slammer. Make no mistake about it, they're lining me up, and they want me down.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are the things I've been talking about in the Savage Nation. One, gay marriage ban upheld, meaning the people's vote was upheld. And it was a victory not only for traditional marriage, but for the people themselves and democracy. You know where I stand on this issue. I'll let you, the Savage Nation, decide what this means for America. North Korea fires at nukes. We do nothing. Our college professor president has shown once again that he's not up to the job. Kim Jong-il tested a nuclear weapon, and Obama's done nothing. He went to the UN. What do you think the North Korean madmen in Iran will learn from this? I'll let you figure it out. We also talked about the extreme left-wing nomination for the Supreme Court, Sandra Sotomayor. It's amazing to me that Obama nakedly says he wanted someone with empathy. Now, what in the heck does empathy have to do with being a Supreme Court justice? The answer is nothing. Obama said he valued someone with experience in the real world. What does that mean? Who doesn't live in the real world? Maybe he doesn't. I know everyone else I know lives in the real world. But nowhere did Obama say that he wanted someone who would make a just and fair Supreme Court justice. So instead he made an affirmative action appointment to pander to the Hispanic vote. Now, Sotomayor has made racist statements in the past. In 01, listen to this. Sotomayor said, "I would hope that a wise Latina woman, with the richness of her experiences, would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life," close quote. Is this the kind of racially charged justice that you want on the Supreme Court? Do you think the Republicans have the you-know-whats to stop her? Ha! All right, play Blue Monday.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
It is Tuesday on the Savage Nation, but we're playing Blue Monday because it's equivalent. If you think that Obama's bad, you've seen nothing yet. It's much worse than you think. Now, we understood he'd replace a liberal with a liberal. We understand that. And I understand that very well, but to replace a competent liberal with an incompetent liberal is another story. Play the clip.
Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And I know this is on tape, and I should never say that because we don't make law. I know. I know. I'm not promoting it, and I'm not advocating it.
You just heard a soundbite of Sonia Sotomayor speaking at Duke University Law School in 2005 saying that she believes the Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And she then tried to cover up the fact that she said that with her lib friends giggling. Listen to 8 again, please.
Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And I know this is on tape, and I should never say that because we don't make law. I know. I know. I'm not promoting it, and I'm not advocating it.
All right, turn it off. All right, so she's an activist liberal judge who belongs not on the Supreme Court at all. And the topic number two, and it's a bigger one than this, is the North Korean nukes and Obama's weakness. Very huge story is the failure of Obama to respond adequately to the launch of the nuclear weapon, the underground nuclear test and the launch of the rockets the other day. I want to remind you that when he did this in 06, the North Korean dictator fired two missiles that landed in the sea. And at that time, Bill Clinton's former Pentagon chief, William Perry, and his assistant, Ashton Carter, actually recommended destroying North Korea's missiles at their launch site. But Clinton didn't do it. Clinton didn't do it, actually. Bush didn't do it. Bush failed. And the result was an unpredictable dictatorship armed with nuclear weapons. So now Obama is repeated the same mistake. I want to remind you that we have 18 U.S. naval ships off the Korean Peninsula with the Aegis missile system. Japanese and South Korean warships have the Aegis system. Navy vessels with interceptor missiles are prepared to fire on a moment's notice, and yet we've done nothing. So it's not that we lack the technology, we lack the leadership. The fact of the matter is, there is no question in any fair person's mind that this is a danger to all of us, whether you are conservative or liberal. A nuke can destroy your day. And I think we would all agree that we should have recommended North Korea's missiles be destroyed at their launch sites. Sure, they could have been shot out of the sky, but their launching pads could have been blown up. And here Obama has done just what the last diddler-in-chief did. Nothing. So those are two topics, which is Chairman O's liberal pick for the Supreme Court, less than supreme, North Korean nukes and Obama's weakness. And the third is that gay marriage was shot down in California. That is, the will of the people was upheld. The Proposition 8, which supported traditional marriage, was upheld. And you know where I stand on this issue. I stand with all the people in every state that ever voted on it. I stand in the mainstream on this. And I'm going to act as a moderator today in the Savage Nation on these three topics. North Korea, gay marriage, Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you care not to talk about these topics, you shouldn't be listening to talk radio. You should have your hat on backwards and be listening to a ball game, because that's where your mentality should take you. You have no business in politics. You have no business talking about politics. In fact, you have no business voting. I see how useless our Congress is, and how venal the senators and congressmen are to about the 97th percentile. A part of me got angry this week, and I said, you know what I'd like to do? I may run for the Senate and knock one of these phonies out of business. I got so angry, I said, you know what? Maybe I'll just run for the Senate and knock one of these frauds out of business. But I won't do that. I am not made for politics. I'm just not made for it. I can't raise funds. I can't sit in the room and listen to people and go, I'm not a group thinker. I don't know how to get along in groups. I don't. I'm iconoclastic. I'm an individual. I believe in myself. I believe in God. When I make a mistake, I suffer for it. When I make a mistake, I'm embarrassed by it. When I make a mistake, I beg God's forgiveness for it. That's who I am. I don't need people to tell me that I made a mistake. I know when I make a mistake because I'm imperfect. As Mrs. Savage has said to me for years, God doesn't like competition. That's why we're all imperfect. God doesn't want competition in man. You know, man should not try to be perfect because you're only man. Stop holding yourself up to the level of a God, this perfectionism. You can't be perfect because you're only a man. You can only be imperfect. It's a wonderful way of looking at things. I mean, I wasn't raised that way. I was raised to believe that if I make a mistake, I get punished for it. I was raised in a very, very severe, but really non-religious household. You got to understand that, too. I love some of the articles written about Michael Savage that his father was a liberal. His father was a conservative. He was not. My father was not a conservative. Again, a distortion. If anything, I think my father was a liberal in his time. Why was he a liberal? Because in his time, it made sense for a poor man to be a liberal. Why? Because he came here as an immigrant. He was very poor. He couldn't make a living. He had a struggle. And then the Depression hit, and he was still a young man, and the only people who helped him at that time were the Democrats, as I've said to you, with the WPA, the Works Progress Administration, which many so-called Republicans say is evil, but it created jobs, real jobs, not jobs that are invisible, like Obama's done, real jobs. He got a job as he told me, he was a young guy, maybe 21, 22, he got a job as a driver for a low-ranking New York congressman, assemblyman. And he used to drive him around. I don't know how he got that job. I never even asked him because my poor father died so long ago. God rest his soul. I'm looking at a picture of him here in the studio. I don't know how he got the job. He had no connections. I can't even imagine how. I don't know. I don't know. But it saved him. It enabled him to make a living and go on and, you know, become a small businessman honest man, taught me a few principles such as never lie and never, ever take a penny that isn't yours. I watched him with customers. I watched him. They didn't like something, he took it back. That's all, unlike some of the jewelers I've dealt with in my life who sold me diamonds that did look like the inside of Nancy Pelosi's eye. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mr. Dictator, take down your missiles. Once again, Kim Jong-il has tested a nuclear weapon. When he did it the last time in 06, it was on the 4th of July. This time he chose Memorial Day. He deliberately chooses days where most of America is drunk, drugged, and asleep and stuffed with hot dogs. And he might be right. Bush didn't do a thing to stop him back then. And now that he's done it again, what's Obama doing? Oh, he called an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council. Oh, denounced their actions. Admiral Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the son of a Hollywood press agent, comes out in a nice pressed uniform and says he wasn't surprised that North Korea fired off a nuke, and then says he doesn't know if he can do anything about it. After all, he wouldn't want to get any soil on that nice pressed Hollywood uniform of his, would he? What weakness. What gutless wonders we have for leadership. It's high time we stop playing Kim's game. Now is the time to take seriously, and now is the time to take swift action against such a tyrannical despot, hell-bent on nuclear proliferation. People are saying there's nothing we can do. How about blowing the North Korean missiles out of the sky after they're fired? How about blasting the launch sites and the test sites? There are 18 U.S. naval ships off the Korean Peninsula with the Aegis missile defense system. Japanese and South Korean warships have the systems as well. Navy vessels with interceptor missiles are prepared to fire on a moment's notice, and yet we don't act. The problem isn't that we don't have the capability. The problem is that we don't have the guts. And until we get men who have the guts, we are finished. Joining us now for our Eye on Hollywood, James Herson.
Thanks, Michael. Carrie Prejean, Miss California. The attacks continue. Now a woman has surfaced. She says she had an affair with Carrie's mother. Even Miss California's family is apparently not off limits for those who hate her beliefs. Valerie Vetrano, an openly gay saleswoman from Corona, California, went to the press to announce she had a lesbian relationship with Prejean's mom. Her mom's name is Francine Coppola. She told ABC News that she dated Carrie's mom. The claim was also supported by the Star magazine, and the publication alleged that this relationship just ended a couple of weeks before Carrie Prejean was in the Miss USA competition. How convenient. And the attack on Miss California is now inevitably hitting Donald Trump. On the E! Channel site, an article asked this question, quote, is Donald Trump anti-gay? Just because Carrie Prejean gets to keep her tiara, Trump is painted as a homophobic. The article cites Miss Nevada 2007, Katie Rees, who was stripped of her title. The writer asks insidiously, was it because Miss Nevada was kissing a girl? This is in one of the leaked photos. He also refers to Donald as a, quote, bimbo-loving dude. This because Trump didn't want to punish free expression.
This is unbelievable to me.
And speaking of people who don't give a whit about free expression, how about that Home Secretary Jackie Smith? A conservative member of the British Parliament, a guy named Julian Brazier, totally embarrassed the Home Secretary with a single question. The question involved when Smith represented banning you from the country as even-handed. And Brazier said, well, if it's an even-handed approach, then why have we welcomed back to this country, to Britain, from Guantanamo Bay, two UK non-citizens who are not only suspected terrorists in Afghanistan, but wanted on murder charges in Spain. The embarrassed Smith could only babble something about helping the U.S. and President Obama. She was also embarrassed to be part of a political scandal that caused the Speaker of the House, Michael Martin, to resign. Members of Parliament have been accused in this scandal of filing bogus claims for expenses needed to maintain two homes. One of the alleged culprits in the scandal is none other than Jackie Smith. The Daily Telegraph reported that her husband, a guy named Richard Timney, who happens to work for Smith, submitted an expense bill that really upset the taxpayers. It charged the taxpayers for his viewing of two porn movies. One is titled By Special Request. Well, that sounds rather benign, but the other movie title, Raw Meat 3, has no other explanation except if it's a cooking video on steak tartare. Anyway, Jackie Smith had to repay the money, and she was embarrassed.
I believe they're in complete disarray.
Cameron Diaz ought to be embarrassed. While on Jay Leno's show, she revealed she thinks it's a waste of natural resources to flush each time she uses the bathroom. The toilet. Now, if this is green, it's obscene. You know, that rhymes, and Diaz used a poem to explain her ecological recommendation. She says, if it's yellow, leave it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. If you happen to visit the home of Cameron Diaz, don't go in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Nuclear weapons. It's a serious subject for qualified experts. That's why a panel of experts was convened in Washington, D.C. to discuss this pressing issue. The authorities on nuclear proliferation included former Senator Chuck Hagel, former Senator Sam Nunn, former U.S. diplomat Robert Gallucci. He was the chief negotiator during the nuclear crisis with North Korea in 1994. And to moderate the panel and ask the pertinent questions, a super-duper expert on nukes was brought in. Who was it? Actor Michael Douglas.
What? Unbelievable.
Because Douglas starred in the 1979 film about a crisis at a nuclear power plant, the China Syndrome. God bless you, Michael Savage, for standing up for your principles.
Thanks for the update, James. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
It is experience that can give a person a common touch and a sense of compassion, an understanding of how the world works and how ordinary people live. And that is why it is a necessary ingredient in the kind of justice we need on the Supreme Court. I have decided to nominate an inspiring woman who I believe will make a great justice, Judge Sonia Sotomayor of the great state of New York.
And the nominee is, well, it's like an Academy Award winner, sort of like the same thing as a bad movie. Only this is like worse than a bad movie. The nominee is a Frankenstein. Who is it? It's Sotomayor. She grew up in the South Bronx, the daughter of Puerto Rican parents, which I really didn't care about. I don't care who her parents were. Truthfully, it doesn't matter to me that she's Hispanic and a female. I'd like to know where she stands as a jurist. The answer is she's quite racially charged. All day long in the media, you know, they've been trying to make her out to be an angel. An angel who came from heaven, who overcame tremendous odds to get where she is. But the truth is a little different. Her own law clerks called her not that smart and kind of a bully on the bench. Sotomayor was part of a panel that rejected a lawsuit by white firefighters who were denied jobs because of their race in Connecticut. White firefighters passed over for less qualified minorities. In 2001, she said in Berkeley, she thought that a Latina woman would make better decisions given her experiences than a white male. Here's the quote. I would hope that a wise Latina woman, by the way, I suppose she thinks she's a wise Latina woman, with the richness of her experiences, would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life. Well, of course, he couldn't have lived your life if he's a white male. That doesn't mean he's less qualified unless you're racially distorted. Now, that's a disqualifying statement unto itself. It is racist in tone. Now, Obama said he wanted a judge with empathy. Well, looks like that means bias in favor of politically correct individuals, women or gay people or black or Hispanic. Now, conservatives are going to expect Republicans to oppose this nomination in large numbers. Most Americans want judges who will follow the law and not make decisions on a whim. But her comments and Obama's comments lead one to believe she'll be a political jurist. Unfortunately, the record is not good. Here are just some of the names of the Republican senators who voted for her the last time she was up for confirmation as a judge. Snow, Gregg, Collins, Murkowski, Hatch, and Lugar. So it looks like Sotomayor will get an express elevator ride straight to the top, and the American people will be given the shaft. We've been talking about the nomination of Judge Sonia Sotomayor for the Supreme Court. Joining us now is Tom Fitton with Judicial Watch, who knows who she is.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on again. Well, you know, the problem is for Judge Sotomayor is that President Obama has really put forward a lawless standard in terms of what he expects from judges. He talks about empathy, having empathy for the poor, gays, blacks, women, whatever politically correct minority group he likes, in terms of judicial rulemaking. And that's a lawless standard, and it is inherently full of bias, and it would be improper for a judge to be making decisions on anything other than the law. And as a result of that standard putting out there, that Obama has put out there, Judge Sotomayor is going to have to explain herself. You know, does she believe that the standards of the law should not apply depending on the interest group that's litigating? You know, Americans want their judges to be fair and want their justice to be blind. And it looks to me that, you know, someone going before Judge Sotomayor or Justice Sotomayor, if she gets on the Supreme Court, is going to have a judge that's biased in an inappropriate way.
We're already hearing from the left that we can't speak out against her because she's a Hispanic female. Ha! Huh?
Well, I just love the left that wants to protect people and thinks that people should be immune from questioning based on their race. And I actually have more respect for Judge Sotomayor than her leftist defenders who want to protect her and shield her like a delicate flower from scrutiny simply because she meets their politically correct standards as to who a nominee ought to be, meaning a Hispanic female. And, hey, I don't know if she is the first Hispanic to be on the court. I thought Benjamin Cardozo was a Portuguese Jew, which counts as Spanish in my book. But, you know, I'm not aware of how one is able to define one's ethnicity. We don't have the race cards like South Africa did, although it seems like the liberals often think we ought to. But, you know, the real problem about Sotomayor is that she has exhibited a bias in her statements, or that she's willing to be biased. And she talks about her being a Latina and how a Latina woman with her experience should come to better decisions than a white male. And if a conservative jurist had said that, they'd be run out on a rail from Washington. But in Washington, you make a racist comment towards on the other side, you get promoted to the Supreme Court. And I think conservatives ought to stand against that.
Well, what do we really know about her?
Well, she's a traditional liberal who likes lawsuits against businesses, who tried to bury, for instance, there's this recent case before the Supreme Court, the Connecticut firefighters who are complaining that they were denied promotions because of the color of their skin. She tried to bury that claim and made sure the Supreme Court would never hear of it. So much for empathy. And she is hostile, it looks to me, to the Second Amendment and the idea that the Second Amendment right is a core constitutional right. So I think there's going to be a lot of various interest groups that are diverse, business, gun rights people, people concerned about race quotas and affirmative action are going to find reason to want to oppose her.
Do you think there's actually going to be a fight over this nomination?
Yeah, I mean, the media would like you to believe that there's going to be no fight. But gone are the days when 95% of Republicans can vote for a liberal activist to the court, like they did with Ginsburg and Justice Breyer, who were nominated by Bill Clinton. You know, my view is conservatives ought to plan to win, demand that Republicans oppose her, and demand that moderate, relatively sane Democrats oppose her as well.
What happens next?
Well, the left is going to run to try to confirm her as quickly as possible. But given her lengthy record, she's been on the appellate courts for almost 10 years now. There's going to be a lot to look at, and conservatives ought to demand that the Senate be thorough and not be rushed into a rubber stamp process a la the stimulus bill. You know, the Supreme Court is too important to rush, and now there's a great dispute about what empathy means, about what your feelings are and how that influences your judicial making. You know, whether or not she has a bias against white males as opposed to Latina females, given her own statements. We can't rush on this.
Tom Fitton, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Good to be with you. Thanks again.
Sacramento, Mo, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'm a Muslim American, and I love your show. I agree with you almost 99% of the time, so I don't want you to think that all Muslims hate you or oppose you, by no means.
No, but we never hear from anyone who doesn't.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Mike. You know, I'm addicted to your show. Every time I come home from work...
Mo, you know why? Let's say we disagree on issues to do with Israel, and I'm not sure we do, by the way, but let's say we do. On issues of family, on issues of the relative place of a father in a family, on issues to do with patriotism, I can guarantee you that the Muslim community in this country is about 99% in my favor.
Not just 99, 100%. I mean, I come home, the first thing I do, I want to know what my children learned at school. I don't want them to get all that homosexual material and all that liberal garbage. We came to the United States to make a better life for ourselves. We understand it's a Christian country. We love Christian people. We love Jewish people. We love all our neighbors. We have neighbors from all kinds of backgrounds. And hopefully, you know, all the hate will stop, you know. So.
Well, you know what? This call means more to me than you can imagine. All I can say is Alechem Shalom.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Abraham was the father of all of our people. Remember that. You know, for years I was a naive guy, a walk around saying, I lived in a dream world. I was Mr. Herb and Mr. Nutrition. I lived in a dream world. I walked around saying, you know, the world is a good place. When you look at it, I said, Abraham was the father of Jews, Christians, and Muslims. He's the father of three principal religions. And that made me feel good, like an idiot. I was walking around like, oh, yeah, made me feel good. Abraham, the father of Jews, Christians, and Muslims, like that mattered. Well, it should matter. It should matter. He's the father of the three monotheistic religions. But I don't understand it. Maybe there's something missing in the churches, synagogues, and mosques. Maybe there's someone missing in terms of teaching the unity of the three principal monotheistic religions. Maybe I missed my calling. Maybe I belong inside of a house of worship instead of inside a radio studio, I ask myself. But, you know, you can't shift horses at a certain point. Maybe sometimes I say, you know what, leave all of this. Get out of the political business, open up a house of all faiths, invite people of all religious beliefs and non-religious beliefs, and do what you do on the radio on a Saturday or Sunday. Doesn't matter. Believe me, I go through this in my mind saying maybe that's what I should do with the rest of my time on earth. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Three topics: North Korean nukes and Obama's weakness, failure to act. Chairman O's pick for the Supreme Court, less than supreme, a radical leftist. And the third topic is gay marriage, shot down in California by the California Supreme Court. I'll take your calls now on the Savage Nation. Austin, Texas. Stephen, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Well, I'm thinking about Proposition 8, and I'm glad it's a victory, but the 18,000 marriages or so that happened in the interim, I think they knew already that they were going to let those folks go by. They told them back in the summer that those marriages hung in the balance, but they had no intention of invalidating them. So it's a good victory, but it's got a little bite to it.
Well, I'm not so sure that I agree with you. I think that the judges did a Solomon-esque thing here. I think that they upheld the law, they upheld the will of the people, and then they upheld gay marriage, which, of course, was sort of a offering to the community that wanted this. So they had to placate that community. You understand that. But the vote was overwhelmingly, what was it, 6-1? I don't know the number, Beowulf. 6-1. I mean, this was a pretty amazing vote. It wasn't a split vote, 4-3. It was 6-1.
But if it was 6-1 and it's so strong, then why did those 18,000 stand? I just see that as another challenge for the U.S. Supreme Court for them to take it up. And
well,
say,
I suppose that you wanted 100%, but in politics today, no one's getting 100%, Stephen. Thanks for the call. There is pending legislation in Congress entitled the Mothers Act. Well, it sounds innocent enough, doesn't it? Well, read between the lines. For a closer look is Peter Bregan.
Right, Michael. What could be more innocent and even benevolent sounding than the Mothers Act? The proposed legislation actually aims at implementing the universal mandatory screening of new mothers to check for symptoms that indicate a need for psychiatric treatment. Not surprisingly, the bill has a huge support from the pharmaceutical industry, including numerous organizations who get money from the drug companies and also psychiatry and organized medicine. The legislation has a genuine prospect of being passed under the Obama administration and the Democratic Congress. The bill will provide funds to the states to make sure that screening takes place before the mothers leave the birthing centers. Do not be fooled. This means pushing women into seeking psychiatric medication. That's the reason and the only reason for mammoth drug company support for this bill. How many of these moms will need help? A press release by Democratic Senators Robert Menendez and Richard Durbin estimates that 800,000 women a year develop postpartum depression. Another bill sponsored Democratic Congressman Bobby Rush has said, and I quote, 60 to 80% of new mothers experience symptoms of postpartum depression. That's making having a child tantamount to having a mental illness. Official endorsers of the bill include two of the biggest beneficiaries of drug company dollars, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, NAMI, and the National Mental Health Association, MHA. NAMI was recently forced by a congressional investigation to reveal that it receives more than half of its operating funds from the drug companies. NAMI and the Mental Health Association are drug company stooges masquerading as public advocacy and consumer-oriented groups. This bill is but one approach to psychiatric screening. Drug companies are also pushing mandatory screening of infants and school children for psychiatric disorders. Since most level-headed Americans distrust psychiatry and psychiatric drugs, the drug pushers have to turn to involuntary screening in public facilities like schools and hospitals to sell their toxic products. Meanwhile, the antidepressants that will be pushed on these mothers are ineffective and dangerous. As I describe in my books and in earlier Savage Nation reports, it's hard to show that antidepressants actually improve depression. But it's silence and a general worsening of the individual's mental condition in many cases. When infants are exposed in utero, antidepressants cause increased rates of physical abnormalities in newborns, including potentially fatal cardiac abnormalities and grossly malformed brains. Antidepressants and other psychiatric drugs also pass through the mother's milk, and they distort the growth of the nursing infant's nervous system.
What would it be like for these new mothers to be confronted by these so-called health professionals?
After the birth of a baby, women experience crashing hormonal levels and fatigue, as well as normal fears and emotional challenges. And many postpartum women will experience time-limited feelings of extreme tiredness and discouragement. That should never become a prescription for months or years of mind-impairing medication. Unfortunately, many of these vulnerable women will respond to an offer of help from the kindly doctor, nurse, or midwife who explains to them, "You need to think about taking medication. You'll feel better, and it will make you a better mother."
Well, what do you think these mothers really need?
First, women need a good follow-up healthcare program, which does not include antidepressants, and other toxic psychiatric drugs. Second, they need as much love, support, and attention as they can get from their families and friends, as well as from temporary hired help. And they need this help in regard not just to the infant, but also to the home. To have a genuinely positive influence, instead of screening mothers to give them psychiatric drugs, professionals should sit down with everyone concerned with the mom to encourage them to lend a hand to her in every possible way when she returns home. They should especially encourage the husband and father to reach a new level of nurturing support for the new mother. In the absence of a supportive family, women with newborn children need social service, charitable help, and volunteer programs to bring people into their homes to help them out with the baby, with other children, and with the housework. Though there's no money in that, of course, for the drug companies, and there's no money in that for organized psychiatry. But this is relatively low-cost personal support, and it can work miracles for new mothers.
Why are the Democrats more in favor of this bill?
Well, first, screening fits with the progressive idea of federal control over health care. Second, it looks so well-intentioned, and progressives, of course, love that. And third, now that they've come to power, the Democrats are receiving as much money from drug companies as the Republicans. Meanwhile, imagine if we had a national health care system right now, without having to bother with the messy business of passing new legislation. Government officials could simply mandate the screening of new mothers, all of whom would be giving birth under government funding, government control, government supervision. We should do whatever we can to stop this infamous Mothers Act before it takes advantage of our society's most vulnerable group, the mother with a newborn baby. And it's one more example of why we need to prevent increased government control over our healthcare system. That brings us to what I call the primary principles, the refrain of my weekly report. Protect freedom, take responsibility at all times, express gratitude for all your gifts and opportunities, become a source of love. You can find me and listen to all these reports and also obtain the transcripts at Breggin.com. That's Breggin.com. Thank you.
Dr. Breggin, thanks for being on the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.